Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, James. Last week I stood up here and I reminded everybody that this is a safe space. And I just want to say that again, that this is a space where you can be. And if tears flow, do not be embarrassed, because that's what the Lord is wanting you to do. That's how he's touching us sometimes, and tears are a release. And so I just want to remind you of that, that this is a safe space. So would you pray with me? Father God, thank you for your presence here with us by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to you just as we are. And thank you for your word, which is living and active. And Lord, I ask that would you open your word this morning to our hearts and our hearts to your word. May we honor you. We are thankful to you, Lord. And we are thankful for you, to you that we are your children, loved and forgiven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as Rachel has mentioned, if you were here at CSK last week, you would have heard me speak on the whole subject of confession. And we had that time of confession in our song today. So we're here now in that stream of forgiveness, knowing that God's promises in his word are true, that we are forgiven. This is what it reminds us of in John's first letter. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, the Bible passage James read to us today from Colossians gives us guidelines on how we should be living as forgiven people. We are made alive in Christ so that the peace of Christ can rule in our hearts. We are told to put to death, to get rid of certain behaviours. Colossians 3 verse 8, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Now, lots of different things can make us angry. And when we're angry, it's impossible to have peace in our hearts. Our reading went on to direct us. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, I've already prayed the Lord's Prayer today, which included these words: forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. It's very easy to pray those words in the Lord's Prayer, but it's a lot harder to put them into practice, to live them out as a reality. And today we're going to look together at what forgiveness really means. Everyone has been hurt by the actions, words, or behaviours of another at some point in their life. That may be the criticism of a parent, nasty words that have been spoken, being bullied at school or work, abuse, neglect, crime, betrayal, accidents, and a whole array of other wounds that can leave us feeling angry, betrayed, bitter, and vengeful. If we don't forgive these sins against us, we can often end up being the one who pays the highest price. Now, forgiveness doesn't come easy. It's achingly difficult. We naturally want to distance ourselves, to protect ourselves. And there are a lot of misconceptions about forgiveness. It doesn't mean that we deny the responsibility of the person who's hurt us. It doesn't justify what they did. Forgiveness is a choice that we make by a decision of our will in obedience to God, and we ask God to make that forgiveness a reality in our hearts. It's not a feeling. It's a choice. We trust God to do the work that needs to be done in us until he brings it to completion. Forgiveness is a process that takes time, sometimes a very slow process. The important thing is that we continue to forgive until the matter is settled in our heart. Christian author Lewis Smead said, "When you release the wrongdoer from the wrong, you cut a malignant tumor out of your inner life. To forgive is to set a prisoner free, and then you discover that the real prisoner was you." You see, unforgiveness causes us to become bitter. And bitterness is a frozen form of hidden anger and resentment. It isn't visible on the surface like anger is, but it affects us. It affects us mentally, physically, and spiritually. and it grows out of a refusal to let go. We're constantly being hurt by memory. And it means that we hold on to hurt until it has a hold of us. It takes control. It consumes us and it robs us. Bitterness and resentment then take root. They make us do and say wrong things. We often have the most amazing memory for the tiniest detail. We record every offence. We defend our grudges and feel that we've been hurt too often, too deeply, sometimes thinking that that actually exempts us from forgiving. We become bound to the person or the conditions that hurt us. And the enemy tells us that we have a right to be bitter. But that puts us in adverse relationship with God. And we can end up blaming God and thinking that he's punishing us. Today we lit our first Advent candle, the candle of hope. But bitterness makes us lose sight of hope. Now we all have choices. And we have the choice to turn to God and allow him to help us move on. Through the power of the cross, we have the power to make a new path and build a new foundation. Jesus came to set us free from the bondages of unforgiveness. And the way that God has made the way for us to deal with bitterness and deal with anger is through forgiveness. Forgiveness allows our anger and bitterness to be released. And it also releases us from our misery and our despair. Modern psychologists have discovered that forgiveness helps to heal wounds. And when you don't forgive, you're emotionally tied to that person, and it will continue to injure you until you forgive. Jesus can only truly come into those deep, painful areas when we release forgiveness to those who have hurt us so much. But as I've already said, forgiveness doesn't come naturally, particularly when you are the injured and the offense seems so terrible. For most of us, it seems totally unfair because we're the injured party. We don't see why we should be the one who does the forgiving. But we don't need to store up offences. God has provided a way. Now, the offences may have occurred today, last week, a few months ago, or even many years ago. But God's command to us in Mark 11 is that we forgive upon the occasion of remembering. Forgive as we have been forgiven. Praying and handing it over to God is both an act of obedience and an act of love. To someone faced with a person who continually hurt them, C.S. Lewis prescribed forgiveness in this way. This does not mean that you must believe you will not be hurt again. It does mean that you must make every effort to get rid of the resentment in your heart, every desire that you have to humiliate, hurt, or pay them back. I had someone that really hurt me. They told lies about me and they bullied me, and I had to move because of them. And I really wanted everyone to know what the person had done. But thankfully, my upset, hurt, and anger didn't take me to the place of telling everyone. I turned to God, who filled me with the grace that I needed to get through. I knew I had to forgive the person, as it was affecting me. It was affecting my well-being. I had to keep praying over a long period of time, choosing to forgive the person in prayer, even though I didn't feel forgiveness. But it was a choice that I kept making to keep doing it, to keep praying. You see, with forgiveness, there's an initial, there's a continuing, and there's a finally. And eventually, as I regularly prayed, my hurt was released and I no longer felt shackled to the person in my thoughts. Because that's the problem of unforgiveness. We relive episodes in our thoughts and the offender lives in our minds. We're shackled to them and we become the hostage. And the person who has hurt us doesn't even realize we're upset. In my situation, I reached the point where I believed I had forgiven them as they were no longer in my thoughts. Then a certain period of time passed by, and I came across the person, and I still felt hurt and angry, even though that they were no longer living in my mind. So I prayed, and I forgave them again. And then after a while, I came across the person on another occasion, and I felt no hurt or anger whatsoever. And so I knew that I'd finally reached my finally. I knew that the forgiveness was complete. Eva Kaur was born in 1934, a twin with two older sisters. The family were taken by cattle truck to Auschwitz in 1944. And the twins were instantly separated from their parents and siblings, who they never saw again, as their parents were sent to the gas chamber. The twins were involved in horrific experiments. They were tortured, they suffered terribly at the hands of Nazi doctors. And many years later, Eva met with one of the doctors, having suffered for years carrying unforgiveness. And these are her words. "What I discovered for myself was life-changing. I had the power to forgive. As a victim of almost 50 years, I never thought that I had any power over my life. I discovered forgiveness is an act of self-healing, self-liberation, self-empowerment. We can't change what happened, but we can change how we relate to it." Forgiveness not only releases our wounder to God for his judgment, it also releases us to receive the healing that we desperately need and that God desperately wants to give to us. Until God's healing is fully worked in us, the memory of each hurt and pain can overwhelm us again and again and again. And each time we need to forgive again and again and again. And as we bring the painful situations of our life to Jesus, he's able to help us find a resolution as well as healing. And healing includes forgiveness. Our bodies often carry the effects of unforgiveness, like King David, who said his body groaned with pain. So forgiveness is a real benefit to us, as well as being obedient to our Heavenly Father. I listened to a talk at New Wine where the person sharing had been abused as a child by her parents. And as she grew up, she suffered a number of physical symptoms, including asthma. And when she reached her finally of forgiving her parents, her asthma was healed. Now, don't mishear me. I'm not saying that all illness is a result of unforgiveness. However, in some cases, bitterness and unforgiveness can cause us to have physical symptoms. Now, if we wait until we feel like forgiving someone, then we'll wait forever. We have to choose to do it with our wills. We don't forgive because someone earns our forgiveness. We do it as people who have received the grace of forgiveness. Forgiveness is not about letting the bad guy off the hook. It's about taking the hook out of our own hearts. Forgiveness is a gift to ourselves. Forgiveness is not something we do for other people. We do it for ourselves to get well and move on. Jesus knows how we'll benefit when we forgive others. He taught us how to pray, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." He directs us to forgive. And I'd like to give you the opportunity to choose to start or continue a journey of forgiveness right now, here this morning. And you don't have to take part in this prayer. But even if you don't want to take part, please may I suggest to you all that you all close your eyes right now. And if you want to take part in this prayer, you might want to rest your hands on your lap with your palms open upwards, signifying your willingness to be open, to hear directly from God the Holy Spirit as we pray together now and we ask Him to help us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you forgive us. We thank you that as we have confessed our sins to you earlier this service, that you forgave us. And I pray now that you will help us to stand in that stream of forgiveness, in the place of receiving your presence, knowing we are loved, knowing we are connected to you, and also knowing that you are a just God. We acknowledge, Lord, that those people we haven't forgiven live in our minds as uninvited guests. Father, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will bring to mind those people who are still living in our heads. Father, we know that the only way that they can be removed is by forgiving them and giving them to you. So, Lord, please strengthen and help our wills and help us right now to make the choice of forgiveness. So, in your hearts, if you'd like to choose to do this, repeat what I'm going to say, or say it quietly. Say it quietly in your hearts, or say it quietly out loud if you prefer. Father God, with my will, I choose to forgive. Now name the person or persons, whether you've forgiven them before or whether it's the first time. I choose to forgive and name them. I forgive them for. And you just tell God what they've done. He knows already. And Lord, I release them to you. I forgive them into your hands, Lord. Father God, I pray that you will come in power by your Spirit and unbind your children spiritually, emotionally, and physically from the effects of the sins against them. Lord, I pray that you would start to bring your healing and your release in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you that forgiveness is the great gift that you give to us to extend to each other, the step beyond recognizing our failures. Lord, help us to practice forgiveness, to be intentional about it. And Lord, thank you that we are forgiven and loved by you today. Thank you, Lord, that you accept us just as we are. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God is here by his Spirit, and he wants to continue to bring his healing touch to you. So we're going to have a time of sung worship now, and members of the prayer ministry team are going to wander down to the front here during this worship time. And if you want someone to pray for you, please just come forward. We'd be delighted to do that. Remember what I said earlier. We've all been wounded and hurt at some point, and God is in the business of healing broken hearts. And he alone knows your pain, and he wants to help you, and he wants to support you on the journey of forgiveness. He wants you to know his peace, his love, his healing touch today. And remember, his word is true, and there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you're able to